On tonight's show, we got the best mascots in the conference.
Oh, it's going to be exciting. Plus, we got question of the week, and we're following the money because, let's face it, everyone loves the money.
You know what everybody doesn't love? The G5. They should love it more, and we're going to talk about it right now.
Roll it. On the show tonight, we've got...
Every night was a battle.
You can lock this in, take it to the bank.
No class at all. It's unbelievable.
They should see a relatively quick turnaround.
Show me the money.
Big water splash, snow cone truck and everything.
One team stands alone.
Well, you know what I think about Troy.
I'm losing my mind over here.
We've got the moment you've all been waiting for.
Of course.
Welcome into another exciting episode of the Bench Boys Podcast. I'm Colin Cahill.
I'm Thomas Gleaton.
And of course, we are the Bench Boys. This is our podcast and our great show.
Season 2, Episode 3.
Heck yeah. So we are off to a crazy start so far this season.
If you want to get caught up, you can find us on anywhere podcasts are found. That's Apple, that's Google, Spotify, coming soon to Luminary. That's an inside joke between us because of something else. Anyway, the point is, we're everywhere. We're even on Twitter. You can find us at the OG Bench Boys. Give us a follow for the best football takes. For the worst football takes, you can follow us personally. He's at Colin Cahill 13. I'm at Thomas Gleaton. We're also on Facebook because, got to keep up with family somehow.
Something like that.
So this week, we've already said what we're going to talk about.
Let's get to it.
Let's go ahead.
Out of the gate.
Well, on 18, yeah, I had to make it because he was one up and then pretty close to the flag. But when I looked around the hole, I saw his putt was pretty fast downhill, so it was not easy to make it, but he had a good chance. And I was like, well, I got pretty much like, I just got to hit it because I left it a couple times short today. I just tried to give it a good try, and it went in, so that was pretty good.
That was Julian Sale from Arkansas State after his first round, huge win in the first round of the 2019 U.S. Amateur Golf Championships. And yes, that's right. We are talking about golf because that's where we are.
I figured I'd let him have it just for one moment. By the way, that soundbite came from Fox Sports 1, just fair use disclaimer, CYA yes. Stuff there. But just...
Amazing match.
Exactly. I was impressed that we still have Sunbelt players representing... At the next level, even it's not pro, it's amateur.
Yeah,
but
still amateurs.
It's the next level.
Yeah, no, amazing. For we actually had two players actually, Julian Sale, obviously from Arkansas State, and we also had the defending Sun Belt champion Stephen Fisk out of Georgia Southern that was playing in this tournament. Then both of them qualified into this tournament, and then both of them actually made it past the stroke play portion. And now we're in the match play portion where you go head-to-head one other guy. It's basically like your national basketball tournament where it's 64 people. Everybody's playing, you know, it's seated. So let's get to it. Julian Sale was the 21st overall qualification into this. So he was the 21st seed. Mm-hmm. Julian, it was a back-and-forth front nine between him and the guy that he was playing. Literally, I mean, it was going like each hole, like one guy would win one, other guy, next guy, I mean, like they were winning each hole back
to back. They were going back and forth.
Back and forth the first like six holes. Really back and forth, stayed tied, and then his name is Aaron Ecroat, I think his name is. Went two up. He's two up going into 17, so Julian's got to win 17 and 18 to force this thing to go to extra holes. Julian railed in like a 50-foot putt basically on 17, 18 does the same thing, ties it. And then wins the match on the playoff hole, literally wins the last three holes of the match to move on. And that would have been an upset if he would have lost that. He was 21st. Ecroat was 44th
so he had to hold this guy off.
Yeah, he was having to hold this guy off. This guy was pressing him the entire day.
I was under the impression this was an upset, but look, I'm going to take it where I can get it. Yeah. We got two Sunbelt guys moving on in the amateur.
We do. Stephen Fisk, mind you. He is the best player coming out of the Sun Belt. He, no doubt, best player.
I mean, he has the trophy to prove it.
He's got the trophy to prove it. He qualified as the 11th overall seed in this tournament. So he's almost top 10. I mean, he's that good.
Yeah.
He didn't have as much trouble today winning his match 6-5. And let me tell you something. If you're only playing 13 holes in a match play, you're kicking that guy's butt. Like, that's a butt whooping. Like, it's fair and simple. He was 6 up through 10 holes. So through the first 10 holes, he won 6 of them. So there you go. And then he ended up winning the match 6-5. So, yeah, Fisk moves on. It's now they go on to the round of 32, and then you go to the round 16. But, you know,
and it just keeps knocking it down. Just keeps going. Yeah.
So very good showing for the Sun Belt for these two guys. Arkansas State won the Sun Belt last year as a team. They were actually the fourth overall seed. The top four seeds, it's stroke play, just like this tournament where you go stroke play and then you move into the match play. Arkansas State actually knocked off, I think, Georgia Southern in the match play version and then went and won, beat ULM. So both of these guys, they're used to winning championships.
Right. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, they do. They definitely know how to win some championships. So that's
all the best to both of them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're going to watch them. I don't know if you will, but I will be tracking them over the weekend to see how over the next couple of days to see how they do. So, yeah, good on for them. That's how we like to talk. That's how we like to start the show off.
With it's golf. We're going to start the show off with golf.
A little Sun Belt love.
And we're 2 weeks from football.
There you go. We're 2 weeks from football. But it's still summer. We haven't hit football yet. And this is that point in the year where every person just seems to like to check on everything. And so USA Today was one of those people. And they decided to release their list of which schools spent the most money over the 2018 physical year. So, yeah, we're going to jump right into that. There's a lot of money being spent on athletics.
I can't imagine why.
Just quick, top five teams, Texas, Texas A&M, Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama. Texas coming in with $219 million.
Spent on football.
Worth of revenue.
Okay.
This is the entire, but their total expenses, $206 million. This is athletic departments in general. So almost $220 million. That is,
well, you know what it is. It's that Longhorn Network.
It is that Longhorn Network. Alabama coming in at Alabama's number 5, and Alabama is coming in at $177 million. So Texas is literally spending $50 million more dollars in their athletic program. At least, their revenue is $50 million more than what Alabama's.
It's like 33% more.
Yeah, yeah. Roughly. It's pretty incredible. The money that program is bringing in. But you know, going down the list, obviously we're group of five. That's what we talk about. Obviously we're focused on Sun Belt,
and you dug into this, so tell me, who's the top group of five team?
I did dig into this, and let me tell you something. It's kind of shocking because the top group of five team isn't even technically a group of five team anymore. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
you got me.
That would be UConn.
Oh
yeah. UConn comes in at number 52 in the entire country, and they're literally leaving the AAC, and they're probably their football is going to be demoted to FCS level. Probably.
And they spent the most out of any American.
UConn had a total revenue of $79 million, which ranked them at 52nd in the country. $79 million, $100 million less than Alabama, and they're 52nd in the country. Yeah.
Yeah. So
there's a difference, ladies and gentlemen, between
the haves and the have nots.
The haves and the have nots, and then what TV deals bring. Because is the big thing.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
That is the huge thing. When you're in the SEC, you're getting almost $24 to $28 million a year just from that SEC network deal, just from being on CBS, because that's what the SEC has done. Big Ten's the same way. The Big Ten teams are making $25 to $30 million. So there you go. There's $30 million.
And I think it'd be safe to say that Sun Belt is sharing about that much.
Yeah, for the whole. Let me put that in perspective. Each team of the Big Ten makes about $25 to $30 million just in the TV deals. Mm-hmm. Troy made a total of $30 million in all revenue this past year. So just put that in perspective. Like, there is a huge gap. A lot. I mean, this isn't news. People know. It's TV rights. It's everything's going to TV. It's those big deals. So other top five teams. This was the very interesting thing, was that five of the six teams came from the same conference.
American?
There you go.
There it is.
That's why American, they can preach this, we're the power six, you know, because they're, and when you look at the money, yeah, yeah, that they're stacks
spending,
up.
They're spending
that stacks up. It goes Central Florida at 54.
No surprise.
Orlando, look at the market they're in.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, 55. Look at the market they're in.
No surprise.
This was kind of the shocker out of all of them. Coming in at 56th was Air Force Academy, which is very interesting. Air Force spent their revenue was $60 million. Their expenses, though, were only $53 million. Very interesting.
They had low expenses.
Yep.
But they're in a pretty surprisingly high market, aren't they?
Well, they're out in Colorado, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're out in Colorado.
I thought they were Boulder. I'm probably wrong. Let me look that up.
They're in the Mountain West. They are the only team out of the top six teams that are not AAC members, which is very shocking.
And it's Air Force, not Boise.
Yeah, Air Force. Boise State actually comes in at 64, mind you. But moving on, while you're looking at that, San Diego State comes in at 57. They're actually the second highest Mountain West team. And then you go Memphis, there's a market. And Houston, there's another market. Those are that is what the AAC has done. They have found good sized markets. Cincinnati's probably the smallest market out of all of those AAC schools.
Yeah.
That is why they can label themselves as the Power Six market, because of the markets of where these universities are at. So
right.
That was very, very surprising to see all the AAC schools. What was shocking to me was if you go, let's say, five spots down from Cincinnati, you find a team from the Colonial Athletic Association. Yeah. You know, could you name me that conference? Put all 10 of those teams down for me.
Colonial. I'm going to guess New England.
Right around there, Virginia. I mean, that's that VMI type of league right there.
Right.
I'm pretty sure. Here comes James Madison, who is an FCS 1AA school, coming in at 61.
Hang on, FCS?
Well, they're 1AA, aren't they?
No, they're FCS.
They're FCS, yeah. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
James Madison comes in. James Madison had a total revenue this year of $51 million. That is a Colonial Athletic Association school that is bringing in $51 million as an athletic department. That's incredible to me. Also, shockers, UMass, which is new to football, they come in at, let's see here. They're A-10, which A-10, that's where our new commissioner came from. They come in spending about $48 million, or revenue bringing in about $48 million. And then the last shocker to me, Delaware, another Colonial Athletic Association school. The Blue Hens of Delaware, yeah. They look like their helmets look like the Wolverines. Yep. But they're bringing in $44 million. We haven't even gotten to Sunbelt schools yet.
No.
Yeah, which is very shocking. Like, all of these schools are ahead of the top Sunbelt school, which Delaware comes in at 70th. The top Sunbelt school is Arkansas State, who comes in at 74. So four slots ahead. Arkansas State had a total revenue this year of $40 million. Almost $41 million, which is pretty solid. And then we start hitting the Sun Belt schools in that region here. I'm trying to find. There it is. And
while you're looking at that,
yep,
I found out the answer.
Okay.
They're in Colorado Springs.
Colorado Springs.
Wow. Here's the catch.
Okay.
Colorado Springs is the second most populous city in the state of Colorado.
There you go.
Behind Denver.
There you go.
So that's why you've got such a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the feeling that Colorado Springs is an Air Force town. So you've got the Air Force Academy right there. You got a lot of Air Force people there.
Yeah.
Second most populous city in a big time state.
Yeah.
Ergo, 2 and 2 is 4.
Yeah. That's why they can label themselves as the Power Six. Well, I guess they're not Power. They're Mountain West, but still. Back to the Sun Belt. Let's just do a quick rundown. Arkansas State comes in number one with $40 million. Georgia Southern, $39 million. Texas State, $37 million in revenue. App State, 36. Coastal Carolina, 36. ULL, 32. Georgia Southern, 31. Troy at 30. South at $29 million. There's one team that we've forgotten there, buddy. Can you name it? They're out in Louisiana. And it's not ULL.
ULL.
There you go. So South Alabama is at $29 million of revenue. ULM is all the way down. Mind you, South 110th. That's their ranking. ULM is 170th in the country. Their total revenue is $15.5 million. That is as much as they brought in. That is half of what Troy spent.
That's half of what the Big Ten schools get.
Get just in a TV deal.
Just in a TV deal.
Yeah. Yeah. So Matt Viator, any coach at ULM, you're doing a lot with a little. Like, just to have a program with, when you're only making $15 million, that's enough money to basically turn the lights on and do upkeep on all of your facilities when you think about it. I mean, that's your whole athletic department that is only bringing in $15 million. Yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah. That's why the Sun Belt has to get better TV deals. They're doing great right now, but that is exactly why. Because football is what brings in the money. I hate sounding like that dumb stuff, you know, the dumb person that, oh, football's the only thing. Well, guess what? TV deals, there you go. But if we have a commissioner like Keith Gill that's going to make us a basketball conference, there's more money right there. So that's going to be the thing. So, no, $15 million, you're 170th. Let me tell you something. There were teams out of the SWAC that had more revenue. There were teams out of the MEAC that is the Mid-East,
Atlantic, Mid.
I don't know.
Don't know. Point is, bad. Yeah, it's bad.
It's bad.
It's really bad.
When you're back behind those two teams, when you're in a G5 Sun Belt conference and the SWAG and the MEAC are ahead of you. Ohio Valley was ahead of them. Yeah. Yeah, not good. So that's the money, ladies and gentlemen. So that's our out of the gate. And it's very interesting just to see the money. I mean, $15 million. That is $200 million.
Stunned.
That is $200 million less than what Texas brought in. $200 million. Think about that. I don't even know where LSU is. I'm sure that I'm sure LSU is top 25 easily.
Yeah.
But like, it just,
this team right down the road.
I mean, just, that is just shocking. That there is that big of a difference. LSU, $145 million. There you go. Yeah. So, that's out of the gate for you. That's the money. Normally, you're the money guy. I don't really follow the money.
Oh, I just didn't follow it. Oh, wow. Okay.
Door opened. The door opened up.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I just got a physics lesson, folks. That's all that was. Yeah. So, no, I didn't follow the money this time. I did see Kara's stuff, mm-hmm. which is what inspired you to do this. So, something else I saw that I didn't dig into as much as you did. Let's get to it right now in our lightning round.
Lightning round.
Yeah, we're talking the best mascots in the Sun Belt right now. But basically, this comes from an article that Sports Illustrated did earlier this week. It was the best mascots, top 10 most iconic mascots. And this was according to Sports Illustrated. A lot of people, kind of like that Fox News, or not Fox News, but Fox Sports that did did that little poll on the best states or whatever it is.
Oh, my goodness. Don't get me started.
They caught a lot of flack. Sports Illustrated caught a lot of flack because their ranking of the top 10 mascots ever, a little questionable. They did stick to the live mascots, which, okay.
I get it.
A dog. I mean, people are going to vote for dogs. Mike the Tiger. Smokey. Otto the Orange. West Kentucky, our G5 love, Big Red, South Carolina, which was shocking. Ralphie, you had the tree, Bevo, Mike the Tiger, then the Duck. The Duck is, I will give them this. I've always liked the Duck. I felt like the Duck has always had an attitude.
It used to be Donald. Like, it used to be literally Donald Duck.
Now it's just.
So, I mean.
It won't be able to be the Duck anymore because apparently Ohio State has trademarked the word the.
Right. So it'll just be Duck.
It's going to be Duck. Hey, Duck. Get over here, Duck. Come here, Duck. Okay, Duck.
Like, think about all those people. Just a side note. Think about all those people who have the as middle names. They'll have to be Alexander Great and Winnie Pooh.
Yeah, Winnie Pooh. That's.
It's and awful.
It's not the Oprah Winfrey Show. It's just Oprah Winfrey
Show.
That's all it is.
We're OG Bench Boys.
Well, I guess we're just the OG.
We're just Bench Boys.
We're just Bench Boys now. Oh my God, we have so much trademarking to do. Okay, number one was
curse you, Ohio State.
Yes, number one was UGA. There's been like 11 of them. I'm pretty sure. I think this is UGA 10. Yeah, something 10 like actually. So yeah, UGA the Bulldog was number one.
Real quick, did you say South Carolina was on that list?
Yes.
Do they have a real live Gamecock? A real live rooster?
No, it's I'm just, not sure.
It's just the guy in the suit.
No, they don't. Yeah, it's just the guy in the suit.
How is that iconic?
Cocky the Gamecock.
How is Cocky the
I'm
Gamecock?
I'm sorry, but Bucky from Minnesota.
Bucky.
Yeah. Yeah, Bucky. Not Bucky the Badger.
Okay.
Yeah, Bucky.
The golden the Gophers?
Yes, the Golden Gophers.
I thought it was Goldie.
I think it's Bucky.
Bucky is the Badger. Goldie's the guy. The point is, Minnesota's mascot. I agree.
He's won, like, okay, the competition, they've won it the last, like, 5 years running, and they're, like, not even in this list.
Obby.
Yeah, Obby. I mean, even the, what do they call the elephant?
Just the elephant. Big Al.
Big Al. Oh, wow, we're not Alabama fans, as you can see.
Yeah.
So, very interesting. So, that got me thinking, what are the best mascots in the Sun Belt? And man, we've got some unique mascots here.
I am so excited because we spent the last 15 minutes before we started just looking at these guys. Oh, and I've got their pictures right here.
Okay, so just to give everybody, we're basically just looking at them and saying, are they cool? Are they not cool? For me, after going through and looking, now when I first thought about this, I thought like Georgia State, I was like, okay, it's a Panther. And then I was like, Texas State. Okay, it's a cat. So
right.
There you go. So, but then when you think of teams like Coastal Carolina and a Chanticleer, and its name is Chauncey.
I mean,
he's looking. You know what he reminds me of? You ever played Star Fox?
Yep.
That's what he reminds me of.
He looks exactly like that character.
Yep.
I can't think of the character's name. But
the Falcon or whatever it is. But he literally looks like that. And I'm like, okay. Okay. Okay.
I get
Coastal.
It.
I see you.
I get it.
I see you. But then we go stay in the state, right? No, Coastal Carolina. Is that it? I don't know.
No, we go to the next state up.
Next state up, and we're going to North Carolina, and we're going to Yosef.
State.
Yosef. We've seen Yosef in person, by the way, because obviously they've come to Troy.
Right. But
Yosef's got this sweet beard.
Dude, this guy looks like he could be like backup singer for the Lumineers.
He probably could.
Like
with a beard like that?
Yeah, and the hat.
And a little hat.
The hat.
The hat kind of puts him into the Lumineers.
I'm pretty sure he used to have a pipe. I think his logo has a pipe.
He might.
There it is. The logo has a pipe.
So he does have a little pipe.
So, but
yeah, he runs around.
He's probably wearing patches now. But the point is,
he's got flannel.
Flannel,
a little denim. I mean,
yeah, he's got black suspenders.
He is the typical mountaineer. Obviously, he's actually aged pretty well too. So I mean, then
you go to
schools like Georgia Southern. They're the Eagles. Gus.
Okay, but let's just talk about Gus for a second.
Gus is winning the social media battle right now. Because Gus has got, I think, more followers than anybody.
Gus is love. Gus is life.
Gus is doing things all the right ways. I believe.
Dude, look at his face, though, man.
Gus looks like
a seagull. That is the happiest face
I've ever
seen.
But Gus looks like a seagull to me.
He does.
He doesn't look like an eagle. He looks like a seagull. Like, so
you're right.
Then, and when I think of seagulls, I think of Finding Nemo, and it's just that. That's where we're at. So,
well, but that's the amount of fun he looks like he's having.
He always looks like he's having fun. Like, I guarantee you, always looks like he's having fun. Unique, South Alabama. They got two mascots.
Yeah, so let's stop and talk about South Alabama for a little bit because I'm a little versed in South Alabama mythology. So let's start from the beginning. Southpaw is
the
their mascot. Southpaw is their mascot.
Yep.
He is the Jaguar. He wears the baseball jersey, the football jersey.
Yep.
They have a second mascot named Miss Paula, like with like a paw.
Pa.
Paula.
Hey, Pa.
So they got these two mascots, these two Jaguar mascots running around. Dude, they got married in 2016.
Was there an actual wedding?
Okay, I don't know if there's a wedding, but he proposed in 2016.
And she said yes?
She said yes.
Wow.
I mean, a love like that, it's adorable.
Okay.
I will say that the fact that they have a married pair of Jaguars, that Southpaw is staying all, you know, faithful to his woman, that's adorable.
Mm-hmm.
He put a ring on it, y'all.
I mean, nobody else got a girlfriend?
None of these other mascots have put a ring
Yosef,
on it.
Yosef, where's your girl at?
Right? Like, he's obviously a player.
Like, where's your girl at, Yosef?
Right? So, Second of all, we were talking about live mascots earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, South Alabama used to have an actual live Jaguar mascot named Mishka. It's a Russian name.
Mishka.
I don't know if it got out once or twice.
Is it Babushka?
Right? I don't know if she got out once or twice, but she got out.
Oh, no.
At least once. And that's when the university was like, I don't think this is a good idea. Got out and roamed the campus. And there, if you've ever been to their basketball stadium, the Mitchell Center, on the north side, there is a big Jaguar statue. You've seen it in pictures, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
That's a statue of Mishka.
South, we could have had something really cool.
Right. Well, I think they followed it up with a pretty cute thing.
I mean, yeah, I like it.
Like, because like
I think they're always running around. They're having a good time.
Arizona, I think, is another school that has two male and female mascots. It's cute because, at least from a design standpoint, they look like, that part, the couple is adorable. Beyond that, personally, I hate it.
So South's got two. But to me, number one.
Oh, I think I know where you're going.
Number one.
Let's do it.
We're going to Lafayette. And we're going to Cayenne.
Cayenne the Pepper.
The Pepper. Literally, Cayenne the Pepper. If your mascot. Okay, yes, you're the Raging Cajuns. But your mascot is a pepper.
It's a pepper.
It is a pepper. And that, to me, wins it all. Just because you're a pepper.
I mean, it's just.
Have you ever eaten a cayenne pepper? They're hot.
No, but I've eaten peppers.
I mean, have you ever eaten, you ever put, cayenne pepper in any,
Oh, yeah, I love hot sauce.
Holy smokes.
That.
You'll win right there. And
look at him.
Literally, his hair is just.
This dude is built.
Yeah, he's stacked, man.
Look, if I came across that dude in an alley, I would walk the other way.
Yeah.
Like, I mean. It's intimidating.
But, yeah.
But look at his face.
He looks real cocky to me.
He's like.
You know what he kind of looks like? He kind of looks, and this is great for a podcast because no one's going to be able to visualize this, but we're going to put a video together. But he kind of looks like, you remember playing with Legos?
Yeah.
And you know, the people's faces? And
he's got the little.
Spin them around? Yeah.
He's got the little.
He looks like a Lego head.
On top. It looks like a Lego head.
That's what he looks like. It's a Lego head.
Oh, my goodness.
Cayenne the Pepper comes in at number one for me. Yosef, two. Chauncey the Chanticleer comes in at three. T-Roy comes in at four because T-Roy is T-Roy. And then, unfortunately, Arkansas State Howell.
Yeah.
Howell.
I mean, he looks like he's just having fun.
There's nothing wrong with him.
Oh, no. Hey, look.
But.
They got a female mascot.
Oh, they do have a female mascot.
I guess her name's Scarlet.
Howell and Scarlet. Okay, well, we corrected ourselves mid-show. So there you go. Howell and Scarlet.
We'll write that one down. And overcome.
Adapt, improvise, and overcome.
I mean, just the fun that Gus is clearly having.
He's having a good time on social media.
Yeah, I feel like T-Roy is going to blast me now, but I feel like Gus is having a lot. He looks like he's having a lot
more. How many
more
followers
fun.
Does he have?
125.
Okay, well, that's not bad.
He's got almost as many as I do.
What is T-Roy at?
Oh, boy, here we go.
Let me see what T-Roy's got. While you're doing that.
T-Roy, mascot.
ULM has Ace, the Warhawk. Ace. I like the name.
He's pretty good. He's got a little bomber jacket and goggles.
I like the name. Then Texas State with the Bobcats and Georgia State with the Panthers.
Let's look at BoCo real quick.
BoCo
could use some help.
Oh, BoCo. Okay, yeah, BoCo just dropped down to maybe 10. Actually, I might switch.
BoCo
BoCo's dropping down to 10.
Wait,
not
hold
fan.
Up.
Okay, T-Roy killing it actually
has
on Twitter.
500 followers.
Okay, so social media game. I don't know. Gus just looks like he's having fun all the time. So. I think it's just the way his mascot.
But no, definitely Cayenne wins.
I feel like we have, with the exception of obviously the Jags, the Panthers, and the Eagles, and the Bobcats, it's all very we're unique, like Mountaineer, a Red Bull. I mean, you don't hear. I mean. Nevada
Troy.
Wolfpack. I mean, you got Wolfpacks, but
Red Wolves.
I think we have a very unique set of mascots at each school,
right?
In the Sun Belt, which is kind of cool. It makes the teams unique. So, that was the one thing I kind of found out that was kind of cool. I mean, a bulldog. Okay, there's nine other schools that are named Bulldogs. There's nine schools named Tigers. So I mean, at least we're at least we're kind of interesting.
You know what? That's a dig at Georgia Southern, but I'm here for it.
I mean, Eagles. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of Eagles, but
I got a question. Well, actually, no, I don't have a question, but it sort of plays along with that.
Okay.
So let's get into it.
Mailbox.
What's up, Bench Boys? This is Jordan Kendrick, long-time listener, first-time caller. If you could steal one school from the G5 and add them to the Sun Belt to improve the overall quality of the conference, who'd you pick? I mean, you've got to consider athletics, academics, brand recognition, market size, all that mess. The obvious pick to me is the illustrious Bloomsburg University of Pennsylvania, who's an affiliate member of the MAC. In 2013, they were featured on Washington Monthly's Best Bang for the Buck rankings, and we all know they don't let anybody on that list. Thanks, guys. Hang up and listen.
Man, another really, like, hard kind of question made us, like, think. I mean, last week's question made us really think that, you know, that. But to steal, that's really tough because, I mean, even early in this episode, we were talking about the AAC and those markets and those teams. And obviously, when you look at athletics as a whole, like not just football, that brings a lot of teams into it because you're not just looking for a football school. You're looking for, you know, an all-around based school. So
right. And first of all, thank you. Was it Jordan, I think it was? Yeah. Thank you, long-time listener, first-time caller. You're absolutely right about Bloomsburg being one of the most illustrious colleges there are. I like Bloomsburg, but I like James Madison because we were talking about them earlier because of the high profile nature of their football team. But you're right, this has got to be his question, and I think when we are considering the addition or the expansion talks, you've got to consider more than just football.
What would you go with?
That's an excellent question. And thinking about all the other schools out there, it's the other teams and programs. I saw the other day, I think Western Kentucky was really high on both the football and basketball wins list. And I don't think they would ever want to come back to the Sun Belt, but I feel like that would be a good way to go. If we could steal one team against their will, Western Kentucky's up there. I like Southern Miss, but I mean,
that would be baseball.
Yeah, but we got plenty of good baseball.
Yeah, we do.
If we're going to diversify.
Yep.
Who would you go with?
Well, mine's pretty interesting because, you know me, I love markets. Like,
oh, yeah.
I love, like, that's where the money is. Yeah. Where the markets are. And one particular school that they're like a growing G5 school. They haven't really been, it's not a Houston, you know, that type of a market, but it's still a good sized market. And I think it's a market that fits in the Sun Belt because you want to get, you don't want to do like what Conference USA did, which just go out and grab whatever big markets you can and screw, you know, the travel costs. You got, you, like, that's the nice thing about the Sun Belt is because all their teams are, with the exception of the Texas teams having to travel to Georgia, those are really the only teams that are far away. So, to me, I looked at what schools are kind of, and West Kentucky kind of fitted that mold, but we don't have any teams in Kentucky yet.
Right.
So, and the Sun Belt really likes those two, you know, have a two teams in a state type thing.
Right.
Get a little in-state rivalry. Well, Alabama's already got that. Louisiana's already got that. Georgia's already got that. South Carolina, North Carolina have that. But I think there should be another team in North Carolina. And that's why I'm going to go with Charlotte.
You're going to say Charlotte?
Yep. I like the 49ers. Their basketball team is pretty solid this year. Their women's sports are all very good. And football team, a lot of people talk about Charlotte and how incredible of a talent pool that's around that area that they can recruit. Obviously, yeah, they're going up against Clemson's and the North Carolinas, obviously the big schools. But to me, that would be a really good market to have in the Sun Belt. Like, yes, we have North Carolina with App State, but they're in Boone. Like, I mean, Boone's not the huge market that
it. You ready for this?
Tell me about it.
Boone is technically in the Charlotte TV market.
Really?
Yes.
That is too far north.
Nope.
Huh. Well,
it is in the county that is part of that TV market.
Huh. Well, I'm still going for Charlotte because I just like that they've got a lot of upside. And I think
it
that's
would, I think it would actually end up being a pretty fun rivalry there yeah. because this past year, according to Appalachian State people I talked to on Twitter, there were Charlotte people who were trash talking the Mountaineers coming in.
Really?
And it was like, what are you talking about? Yeah. And then the results, I think, spoke for themselves on the football field.
Yeah.
But it would be fun because clearly Charlotte has a more bite than bark.
Yeah.
When it comes to football,
I think realistically, that's why I picked him. I think that would be a team that the Sun Belt would look at, just because they're an up and coming school. That's what the Sun Belt kind of likes to pick as our track record over the past six schools that we've added. If it was just me and just adding a group of five, no matter where, didn't matter location, UCF. That's who I'd do. I mean, that just the Orlando. Great
just,
market.
Just throw caution to the wind.
Yeah.
And grab them without.
I do UCF right now. They are on social media. They are the school that everyone talks about.
Well, yeah, because they're trendy and their football team
did
really well.
They have 70,000 kids that go to that school. Yeah, I'm picking that school. Heck yeah. So, I mean, Houston would be up there too.
I think if I was to take any school from the group of five and put them in the Sun Belt, it would be Boise State.
Yeah.
No. yeah. Idaho would
no,
be
I don't
so
want Idaho.
Upset.
I'm sorry. I don't want Idaho in my
So, I thought you were going with one direction with this. You know, Central Arkansas is already an affiliate member in men's soccer.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that would be a good one because we do have two teams in Arkansas already. That would be adding another Arkansas team, but it would be adding another Arkansas team with football.
With football, yeah.
And that's
not a bad idea.
I feel like if they were to move up, that would be a good one.
Yeah.
And that it might actually, I hate to say it for Little Rock, it might, if that was even within the realm of possibility, the Sun Belt might consider flipping them around. But at this point now, I'm just going too far into conspiracy and conjecture. It's the same problem that the Sun Belt wouldn't pick up UAB because it's already got two teams in the state. Yeah. Sun Belt wouldn't pick up Tulane or La Tech, or even if they wanted to move down to the Sun Belt, and I say down because of spending, but
I'm trying to find. I just found Central Arkansas. They're in the Southland Conference. They were ranked 182nd, which is 70 spots behind Louisiana Monroe. Not 70, excuse me.
12.
12 spots. I'm sorry. They were 100.
They were 12 spots behind.
La Monroe was 170, excuse me. I got that mixed up.
But, I take that back, but.
But still, they're 14 million. UL Monroe is 15 million. What's the difference? I mean, it's interesting. I'm trying to find Charlotte. Would that be like University of North Carolina at Charlotte? Would they go underneath that?
Yes.
I'm trying. They aren't in the top 100. Oh, yeah, they are. They are 79th. They're in Conference USA. They make $37 million. So they would fit right in the top three of what the Sun Belt already has. So that would be interesting if they did add them. And I thought Boone was further north in North Carolina.
That is true geographically. That is true socially, culturally, as far as I know.
Yeah.
But when you're looking at Nielsen, DMAs,
mm-hmm.
Boone is in the whatever county that is, starts with a W.
Yeah.
It is part of the Charlotte DMA, as judged by Nielsen.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
So,
well, good question. I think we both, you know, gave plausible answers that maybe the Sun Belt would do. But then if it was just us, I'd go UCF. Like if I could have a pick of any team, it'd be UCF at this point right now. Cause they're just, they've got the student population. They've got the market. They've got the athletics is coming up. Like
FIU and FAU are too far out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But All right, cool.
So great question. With that, I guess we're just going to jump right into, is that final word?
It's final word.
Final word.
Well, this week's final word is we're getting closer to football, and obviously this is the first time ever that College Game Day will be starting in week zero, not week one, which is a great thing. Everybody loves College Game Day.
It's cool.
It's amazing.
I have something to look forward to.
Literally every Saturday, I wake up 9 a.m., I listen to the song, I'm juiced, I'm ready for some college football.
Not as juiced as you are when you listen to our theme song, but...
Not that juiced. But, what is it? Cowboy Troy? Whatever his name is.
I don't know. But Coming to Your City?
Yeah. Yeah, Coming to Your City with Cowboy Troy. Yeah, that gets me pumped every time. But yeah, week zero, obviously, Florida, Miami, going to be playing in Orlando at the Camping World Bowl or whatever.
Stadium, the big sombrero.
Well, College Game Day announced, we're going to be live in Orlando as well. And you're like,
oh, awesome.
This is going to be great.
Cool.
Florida, Miami fans, they're going to be pumped for this. Hold your horses. they are not going to be, well, they're going to be in Orlando, but they're going to be at Disney World. Shocker, a Disney-owned company decides,
okay, well,
let's show off.
Devil's advocate, that makes sense.
Does make sense.
I'm a normal guy. I'm not familiar with the geography of Orlando. Is that close? Is that nearby?
From the stadium? No.
Yeah.
It's 40 minutes away.
It's 40 minutes away.
Yeah. Drive
now, is that 40 minutes like in bumper to bumper traffic, 40 minutes? Or is that like 40 minutes you're going
to
put the car in cruise?
It's like Disney World's like kind of like northeast part, I think. Then you got to get down on like I-4 and go down, and it's just, it's not good.
Okay.
It's not good.
Well.
Yeah. No, but let's just say this. Nobody that's going to that football game, well, the game's until like, what, not like, until like 7?
Yeah.
They might show up for it. But guess what? If you show up, you got to pay $100 to get into in Disney World.
Right. Like on top of going to Disney World?
No, just $109.
Okay. But still. Okay. But all right. Well,
College Game Day never charged you to go. To go to the thing.
Right, but it makes sense. It's Disney World, but you know what's really going to be cool is seeing Old Crimson flying in front of the Magic Castle.
Man, you're just letting me, you're just throwing these up and letting me knock them out of the park, aren't you?
That's what I'm trying.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen.
Why not?
Because apparently, according to Walt Disney World rules, you can't have any flags.
What?
Yeah, no flags, nothing nothing that can be, hold on, let me pull up their exact thing so I get
their
this right.
The exact wording from Disney
the
World.
The exact wording is, prohibited are flags, banners, signs.
Yeah.
Remember all the great signs that you love to see on Saturdays?
Yeah.
Gone.
What?
Horns, gone. I mean, they don't like them. Whistles, gone. Large megaphones, gone. Artificial noisemakers, gone.
So
in the question of can fans attend the game day, yeah, they can catch a glimpse of it, apparently. A glimpse. I don't know what that means. Like, are they going to be moving? Like, is the set moving?
Is it on the train that goes around the...
Is it when you're on the ride and you can see it from the ride? Like, is that what's going to happen? Yeah, a glimpse of the live broadcast. There will be no special access for just College Game Day viewing. So, yeah, you're going to have to pay $109.
On top of your Disney World ticket.
No. Disney World ticket right now is $109.
Oh.
You basically... You
buy a ticket to Disney World.
Yeah, Disney World. And that's it. Like, you don't get a pass to be like, okay, where do I go to go view this? No, you're just good catch.
Thanks.
You're just going to Disney World, and this is just going on while you're there.
Okay, yeah. Well, that sucks all the fun out of it.
Yeah, but I will give everyone some recourse because Old Crimson has been to 224 consecutive College Game Days.
Oh, you got to know there is some sort of mission.
Oh, they got Old Crimson onto a naval aircraft carrier.
You're right.
They had to have special permission to get it wasn't just the flag. People were on, they had to get passes. I mean, they had to get checked. Like, that was a thing. Like, I remember there's a whole like 30 for 30 about that. I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. Like, Crimson has been through some, there was one time where there was like some massive snowstorm and literally like people were worried and people like drove overnight, met people at certain places. Like, there was, like, four people that each drove 6 hours, met another person, dropped it, gave it to him. That person drove 6 hours to another person. Like, it was incredible. Like this flag has been through so many things. Well, Old Crimson, the Twitter account, came out. And let me see if I can find it here.
I'm really on eggshells right now.
Old Crimson has a Twitter account.
Right.
Old Crimson said, relax, folks. I've already been to Walt Disney World before. I'll make it happen. So, somehow, some way, now, there's been a lot of people on Twitter or social media that have been saying they think they're going to hang it. They think they're going to get Old Crimson and they're going to have it being like hung someplace. It might not be, but then some people have also said if they're in front of the actual like
Cinderella's castle,
they think they're going to maybe fly to the top of the castle, which would be kind of cool.
But see, now we're getting into the territory of, Oh yeah, Maroon 5 is going to play Sweet Victory at Super Bowl levels.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be hanging off the side of the set.
It's going to be someplace on the set. Yeah. You can't ruin that streak. Like, you really can't. And to be honest with you, that is what the most flack that they're getting. Not like, oh my God, like, we aren't going to be able to have people with signs. Like, yeah, they're getting a lot of flack with that. Because signs have gotten so creative.
It's so much fun. It's like, part of the experience.
Like, literally, I mean, when they're talking, you're more like looking at the signs and being like, does that say what it really says? Is that like Kirk Herbstreit? Is his head really on top of that? Like yeah. Really? Like, for real? But no, people are more worried about the flag flying than anything, yeah. Which is incredible. So it's just really interesting. It's kind of, I think it's just a power move by Disney. Just, I mean, game day, those first like 4 weeks, that is the most watched show on the weekend, like for ESPN. That is what, I mean, yeah, the football games obviously get watched, but that show, like, especially because it hasn't been on in for 6 months,
yeah,
that brings in all the ratings. So they're thinking, okay, we're going to show them Walt Disney World on TV. Well,
and quite honestly, the sad truth is Disney cares so little about stupid little flag.
No. No, they don't. You can tell.
Yeah. So,
But the other thing that we had to talk about was no Group of Five love at all, like in anything.
No.
This is why we do our show, was because if you watch the latest ESPN College Game Day pump up video, me and you talked about it on social media.
I think we talked about it last week.
We might have talked about it last week, but literally no G5 love. UCF, and that's it.
UCF.
And then some FCS schools.
Yeah. Well, there was one. I feel like I made a correction. There was one other.
Yeah.
But it was two Group of Five schools.
It was like SMU or something.
Something like that, yeah. And then two.
But it wasn't a highlight for SMU. It was a highlight for Michigan.
Exactly. And then there were two FCS teams that were highlights for other teams as well.
Yeah. They weren't the centerpiece of the highlight at all. So it's just one more thing that and we talked about at the beginning of the show. Money talks. Where's the money at? Unfortunately, for us Group of Five schools, it's in those TV deals with all those big time schools.
And if we can't even get a red flag into Disney World, then I don't think a Group of Five school is going to get that much out of a TV deal.
It's going to be tough. But you want to know what? That's why we're here.
And we will continue to be here. You can continue to follow us at the OG Bench Boys on Twitter. Nice setup. Thank you. For all the best takes, follow him at Colin Cahill 13. For the worst takes, follow me at Thomas Gleaton. You can find us anywhere podcasts are sold or
even
actually.
Even Luminary.
Yeah, it's free, and we'll be on there soon. Don't worry. We got you. We're also on Facebook. This is the part where I start losing track of everything that I've said.
It's
so.
Okay. We got 2 weeks. 2 weeks left. 2 weeks.
I can't remember when. I can remember the episode when it was like, it's all over. But now I see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Have you watched any highlight films yet?
I still haven't.
Ooh,
I've been really real good. Been but
really good.
I think I might have to break that streak tomorrow.
I did. Me and Emily did. Like last weekend, we watched like 3 games. So it was a fun weekend. So, but other than that, we've got some great things that we were working on tonight. That
absolutely.
You guys are going to have a I mean, this is going to be a fun season.
Like, yes.
We've gotten some awesome things lined up. We're counting down, yes, to football, but we're also counting down to finally being able to get what we really want on this show. And it's,
oh, yeah. There are machinations that you have no idea.
It's going to be amazing. So, as always, just tune in. Come on back.